Recorded Books presents Fault Lines, The Winterton Deception, Book 2, by Janet Sumner Johnson, narrated by Evan Hartso. Prologue. Jane Winterton had put such a tremendous amount of work into her death that it seemed a pity to undo it all now. Still, being dead was highly overrated, and it hadn't brought the forgiveness she'd hoped for. Her children still hated her. But they didn't hate each other anymore, so that was something. Though faking her death had been complicated, if her children had cared even one iota, they could have discovered the truth. But there was the rub. They didn't care, which was also her fault. She'd even left clues. A massive number of clues. Only Hope had figured it out. The chair in her home office squealed as Jane leaned back. She rubbed her temples and willed the headache to disappear before rereading the letter Hope had sent her for the 27th time, or thereabouts. Dear Jane, I know this isn't going to be easy for you, but the longer you wait, the harder it will be. You love your family. You don't want to spend the rest of your life cut off from them. Here's the schedule I suggest. Times are approximate. Some things are iffy, but still likely. You can do this. Take time before Saturday to prepare your apology. It has to be sincere or it won't work. I love you. I'm glad you're still alive. Your loving granddaughter, Hope Smith. P.S. I'll do everything I can to help. Saturday before Thanksgiving, 4 p.m. Families begin to arrive at Winterton Chalet. 6 p.m. Dinner is served. 6:45 p.m. Dessert is served. 7 p.m. Ms. Springer addresses the family. The big reveal. 7:08 p.m. Fitzwilliam storms out. Likely. 7:10 p.m. Anne and Eleanor chase after him. Likely. 7:20 p.m. The three siblings return. 7:30 p.m. Jane Winterton apologizes with feeling, then excuses herself to let the family decide what to do. 8 p.m. Family debates. This will probably take the rest of the night. Sunday morning. 9 a.m., late breakfast. 9:15 a.m., Jane tentatively enters dining hall. 9:16 a.m., Anne approaches and conditionally accepts Jane's apology on behalf of the family. 9:17 a.m., Jane graciously takes whatever they're willing to offer. If Jane had doubted that Hope was Brandon's daughter, her granddaughter, this schedule would have been evidence enough. It was exactly the sort of thing Jane would have written herself. But private investigators had long since verified Hope's identity, and Jane couldn't have felt any luckier to have such an advocate, especially now. T-minus 3 days to confession. The whole thing felt like a ticking time bomb. Still, Hope was right. She needed to tell the rest of the family, and it would only get harder as more time passed. The phone rang. She was so rattled she almost answered with the wrong name. Jane Winterton's office? She paused, then cleared her throat. Elizabeth Springer speaking. Jane rubbed her forehead. This wasn't like her at all. She always had everything together. She was organized, in control. She straightened some folders which had papers sticking out. Odd. Miss Springer, thank goodness I caught you. This is Anne Winterton. Jane took a deep breath. Anne, wonderful. Does this mean the artifacts have safely arrived at your museum? Sending off her Jane Austen collection had been harder than she'd expected, but the knot in her stomach eased, knowing they were with her daughter. About that. The knot was back. Jane.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?